to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 234. I'm Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Oh my goodness. So many stories on just these sound checks already. I had about 20 sound checks. Little things kept going off. Little cues kept going off. I received a phone call while recording, which was honestly an interesting test to a theory that I had or wanted to test. So, I think I can get interviews going again soon, very soon, like as opposed like Skype interviews and phone interviews for you guys. But anyways, it's been a rough fucking go at this. I'm back again one more week. Let's hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 134. We entitled hashtag WonderCon 2016. This one was really cool because I totally remember this. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain, recording live from WonderCon in LA. So it's normally right here across the street from me, my backyard, literally down the street, a few blocks away. I don't even pay for parking. I walk it over because it's that, fuck, it's right here. This is the first time it was in LA, and they were thinking about moving it out to LA, and that was their test run to do it. LA was a good venue for it. It's the same spot they have, Los Angeles Convention Center, where they have something else that I'm going to talk about going into. I love WonderCon. Yeah, it's the baby sister of San Diego Comic-Con, legit. And, well, let's go through it real quick. I'm going to give you guys a few stories. First day rundown with panel and interviews talk. We're feeling the LA vibe, question mark. I fucking love LA. We hit brief articles with just headlines. We hit comic talk and comic news. We hit the Krill remake. We hit WWE Diva Attitude Supergirl. We hit Star Wars The Force Awakens Blu-ray leaks online. We hit Fox to launch X-Men Apocalypse app. I don't recall that. We hit Batman v Superman. I don't know what we spoke about. Marvel cancels Angela Queen of Hell and Helen Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel and Disney threaten to boycott Religious Liberty Bill. Okay, these ones I don't remember. This one, the rest though, I do remember. WonderCon 2016 interviews. So this convention, they rolled out the red fucking carpet for Adam and I. They were giving us everyone left and right, and DC more than anyone. We got some Marvel writers, and I'm going to go through those cats right now, but this is the first convention where it's like, minus San Diego, which I did cover this past year, but this one was dope because they gave us full access to everyone, and it was dope, and we'll talk about that right now. Like, I'm getting all jazzed about it already. But Jordan Hart from Awesome Comics. Awesome Comics is Omar Spahi, dope cat, and his homeboy is Seek Donnelly. Fuck, it took me too long to remember Seek. I'm sorry, Seek. But we'd talk about the new project, Terminarc. So we got to interview him. And Jordan Hart was just a nice guy, and Adam took the reins on that one to interview him. We hit I interviewed Gilbert Hernandez. He's the writer of Love and Rockets. I got to interview Brian Michael Bendis. He was the writer of Iron Man and Spider-Man at the time. A bunch of titles. Guardians of the Galaxy. He is now working for DC Comics, actually, strictly for them. We hit we interviewed Seth Lederman, the executive vice president for Comic-Con HQ. I got to interview an old fucking, I guess, hero in a way. I praise his work all the time. Scott Libdell, who writes right now Red Hood and the Outlaws, and he's picking up Nightwing shortly, so I'm really curious what he's going to bring to Nightwing, and I love the fuck out of Nightwing. We got to interview Tom King and Mitch Gerrits, the writer and artist of Sheriff of Babylon. That was announced back then 2 years ago that this writer, Tom King, was going to take over Batman. And once he jumped on Batman, fuck me, he's been killing it. The first arc, I really hated Gotham Guy and Gotham Girl, but where the story took us, where he's taking Batman, Kite Man, those stories, I Am Bane, those fucking stories are legit beautiful and gorgeous, and we got to pick their brands. These guys are the bumpers in between shots. So when I go into Comic Talk, like, these are the legit people we fucking interviewed. That's why we kept them. We have so many bumpers from so many people, and it's hard for us to pick and choose, like, ooh, this is a good one, this is a good one. Like, and end of the year, it's like, dude, let's just play all of them. Now, if I can get my hands on all of them, would be fun just to play with and give you guys background music as everyone's just talking. And it was cool. And again, Tom King and Mitch Gerrits were just awesome. One of the best interviews I've done, because we were shooting the shit completely with these guys, and they were fucking dope. Down to earth. Last one we hit was interview Scott Snyder, the writer of Batman prior to Tom King taking over. He was announced that he was going to do the All-Star Batman series. He's the writer for Witches and American Vampire. He's writing Justice League right now, and he's a big fish, honestly. Like, Tom King now is a big fish. Scott Lobdell is a big fish. Like, these guys are big fish, and that DC was able to hook us up with these artists and writers was great. And these guys were so just easy going, easy to talk to. If you guys want to hear those interviews, literally go back 100 episodes ago to episode 134, hashtag WonderCon 2016. And I always like to ask, okay, what if you can give anyone any advice, what would you give? I know it's a cheesy cop-out question, but it's honestly a good question to ask them. So everyone was dope and grounded and down to earth, and even Scott Snyder and I, like, shooting the shit was cool too, because it's like we have a weird history together, and it's a long story, but just fun and funny. So, and we do talk about it. So if you guys are curious, definitely hit these guys up. They're all great. So that was 2 years ago. I'm going to go into bullet points now. So first thing I'm going to hit is I'm going to talk about meeting up Carl, RG, and Alan from the 2OC podcast for Anton's wedding. So Alan's co-host on the 2OC podcast, Anton, is going to be his wedding this Saturday. So just a huge congratulations to Anton and your lady, I believe Julie, already, dude. So Carl's never met Anton. I've only met him once. We have met him on Skype many times because we are all in this summer movie draft we do. And so we have a weird relationship, because the way we bust each other's balls, it's like we've known each other for 5 years, but it's literally a digital relationship. I mean, honestly, it's not like Her, the movie type of deal, but it really is like long distance relationship bullshit and all text message based. So it's interesting. So that the fact that we're all going to go, we're all going to take someone to hang or significant others, I guess. They're both married, or actually Carl's going to get married soon. RG is married already. And I want to take one of my friends, and it's going to be cool just to hang out with these guys already alone outside of work. It's just going to be cool. We're going to bust each other's balls. I know that's going to happen. But so yeah, again, huge congratulations to you, Alan. Sorry, Anton. Anton, to you, man, and your wife, dude, too. I'm going to be there to back you up on this special day for you, man. Next one, speaking of these two fucking bastard kids, apparently I did win the summer movie draft. So this year we had 7 people in it. So these four cats I mentioned already, Rosalind and myself and Carl's daughter, I ended up winning with 2 movies, Incredibles and Tag. Incredibles did huge for me, but it was going up against Deadpool. It was going up against Solo, a Star Wars movie. It was going up against a bunch of stud movies, and I ended up winning. So whoop whoop to me, and Alan, thanks for shooting me the cash. Yeah. I totally appreciate it. I'm surprised your brother got me the money more than anything. Next one I'm going to hit is just, it was my birthday yesterday. No special bells and whistles type of deal. I mean, my coworkers at the office are great, and I love them, and they are family more than anything by this point. So the fact that they always go all out, and the presents I got, I posted those on Instagram. Go to @comic_syndicate if you want to see that. Simple_man80 on Snapchat. I just was posting shit up, and that's what I did. Rosanna made me a cake, a Batman cake with Gotham around it. Again, if you want to check those out, definitely do that. I got a Marvel backpack from Roslyn, which is dope. Batman lunch bag, which was also dope. I got to break those in. And Christine from the office got me a Batarang. So her brother makes and legit has a 3D printer. So he's always making stuff. I had caught a Millennium Falcon she had on her desk. I'm like, is that the Millennium Falcon? Small one, but still dope enough. And I was just like fucking stoked. So that she remembered was fucking really dope of her. So she made had to make me the Batman chest plate insignia. And in between the wings are dimes, and they're legit dimes, and it's a bottle opener of all things. I'm not going to attempt to open a bottle with it because it's so fucking dope. It's a fucking Batarang. So I love the fuck out of it. Christine, Roslyn, Rosanna, everyone at the office, you guys are dope for always going out of your way for me. And that's it. Listeners, everyone of you guys that hit me up on the side, through social media, on every aspect of social media, you guys hit me up. Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, like, you guys are dope. You guys even texted me on the side. Because I don't know why, but even if you guys have my number, you guys hit me up, and it was beautiful. Like, I love the fact that you guys feel comfortable enough to do that, because if I'm following you somewhere, I try to make sure if I know it's your birthday, I'm going to do the same thing for you. So for me, it's just another fucking day, and that's all it is. But the fact that you guys just reach out, I totally appreciate it. It's never said anything bad about you or disparaging about you guys in any ways, just I do appreciate and I do love it and love you guys for it. So again, huge thank you to all of you guys. You guys are awesome. One of the last two things I'm going to – let's hit what I'm going to do next weekend. This month of October is just busy for me, not just the birthday. I mean, kind of. I just have had a lot on my plate this week, the past 2 weeks, and I'll go into that the past 2 weeks. The end of the month is Halloween season, but normally – Adam and I normally go to, formerly was the Stanley Kamikaze in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Convention Center. So now it's just renamed the Los Angeles Comic Con. We're still going out there. Like, I'm going as media. I'm going in for free. I'm going to cover it for you guys. I'm going to cover it for myself. I want to go out just because I love fucking doing that shit. I'm going to be out there. So that's going to be the end of the month. So any end of the month parties, I'm really going to have to cancel, minus the next few things I'm going to talk about. So again, this month being so busy, and the past 2 weeks especially, like, mentally stressful, I don't want to say, because I don't let stress, emotions try to get to me. I do know I overwork myself and overexert myself a little bit too much. Like, I think I can do so many things, and you know what? I goddamn fucking can. It's just the lack of sleep kind of gets to me a little bit sometimes, but it just gives me the option, the chance, I guess, to create more, which is where I'm going. And this is going to lead into the past 2 weeks. Honestly, I've been loving doing it. But the past 2 weeks, I've been recording so much and putting out 3 episodes in a week. And it was more work than I was expecting, honestly, more than anything. The feedback for each episode still there and still great. And the fact that everyone's like, holy shit, this is completely different than this. So dropping the deep dives on a Monday, dropping the Comic Syndicate on a Wednesday, dropping the Audio Chronicles on a Friday. Like, you guys legit got 3 back-to-back-to-back completely different podcasts. And the fact that you guys appreciated or even liked each of those in their odd different ways is awesome. I mean, Monday is deep dives and rabbit holes, more thought-provoking and conversation-based. The Comic Syndicate is strictly pop culture-based. And then the Audio Chronicles is straight-up just interviews. And it was different. It was ambitious for sure. It burnt me out way more than I was expecting. Especially that first week, 2 weeks ago, was weird and not off-putting, but everything just getting to me, mentally drained, physically drained. I started running again, so It just got to me, and like, wow, I'm still working, and I'm still working, and I'm still working. Even on my days off, I'm doing something, and it's not a bad thing, and it's not a bad thing at all. So that I was able to pull off 2 weeks like that, I'm like, you know what, fuck it, I am proud of doing it. By week two, last week, I'm like, okay, I can do this, and it, not to say anything bad about any of those podcasts, I do love doing each of those, and I'm going to do more of each of those. So even in saying that, the past 2 weeks, you guys got interviews from the Audio Chronicles, straight up first shot at it. I didn't have a name for it, but I just want to give a huge thank you to Rachel Madsen and David Cromer for talking to me, chatting with me about, you know, their lives, a few of their goals, a few of their ambitions, a few of their side projects, their legit side project, Cornelius Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. Please find them, guys. Like, if you're local to Orange County, if you're from LA, make the drive out. They're going to be in Anaheim. They have, it looks like a dope show. Follow them on their sites, please. So please follow Rachel on Instagram at Madsen Creations and at Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. Find them on Facebook, Cornelius Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. They have a GoFundMe as well. And please hit up David Cromer. Find him on Instagram and Facebook. It's going to be explicit.sarcasm on Facebook and Instagram. Much love to you guys. Like, you guys helped me scratch a creative bug I've been wanting to hit for a while. And I couldn't have done those definitely without you guys. So thank you. And thanks to the 2OC boys. Like, I'm glad more of our listeners are listening to you guys. So our executive producer, like, it's cool, the conversations we have. So I'm just trying to bring as much content as I can. Wow, this intro is extremely long. So that means I will be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I am back with some comic talk. I want to run through these as quick as I can. Let's first hit Robert Kirkman's Skybound, and Sony form new TV venture. So Image Comics imprint Skybound Entertainment forms Skybound Galactic with Sony to develop their properties for television. If none of you know who Robert Kirkman is, yes, you guys do. He's the writer of The Walking Dead. Straight up, that's the biggest thing he's really done. Invincible is out and has been out. So that's those are his two big ones. He has a lot of projects he's writing, but he's a legit good dude. So yeah, I'm kind of curious where this is going to go. Next one is going to be Warner Media to launch new streaming service in 2019. AT&T's Warner Media intends to launch a direct-to-consumer streaming service in late 2019 to compete with Netflix and Disney Play, along with Hulu, YouTube Red, and everything else that is out there. Question to you guys. I'm going to put a Twitter poll up. What streaming service do you normally use, and how much do you feel you have to pay for content? ABC, let me add ABC Go or whatever that one is. Okay, I'm going to have to toss that one up. Next one's going to be Marvel News. Jared Leto's Morbius film targeting February 2019 start date. Wow, fuck me. It was previously reported that the next installment in Sony's new franchise following Venom would be a film based on the classic Spider-Man villain, supernatural anti-hero Morbius, the living vampire, which is set to star Jared Leto as its titular character. So, producer Avi Arad revealed the film could begin production as early as this February. So, I still need to watch Venom, I know. It's been a busy 2 weeks, guys, like I just mentioned. I don't know. I really have to judge Venom and then to see or say if I want more of this Spider-Verse, quote-unquote, they were putting out. Next one's going to be Doctor Strange 2 could start filming this year. Actor Benedict Wong reveals Doctor Strange 2 could start filming as early as the end of the year. Next one's going to be report Deadpool 2's PG-13 release will include new footage and new character. With the news that Deadpool 2 will be getting a PG-13 re-release in December, dubbed the Deadpool Before Christmas, fans may feel that a toned-down version of the fourth wall-destroying anti-hero might not be as good as the original. How do you guys feel that when you guys go to a Deadpool Christmas movie, but let's just take out all the fuck bombs and shit bombs and fuck this and fuck that and fuck you and heads chopped off? Is that something you guys want? Next one's going to be a cancellation for Netflix. Is Finn Jones released a statement on Iron Fist cancellation? And I believe, Eric was the first one that hit me up about this. And I haven't seen any of them. I haven't even seen The Defenders. So I've heard nothing but bad things about them. I, again, can't judge. But if they're doing that bad, might as well pull it. Still on Marvel, Spider-Man Far From Home wraps production. I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with that. And then next one, still Marvel, is going to be Fox president says company will be ready to close Disney deal by January 1st. According to 21st Century Fox president Peter Rice, Fox will be ready to close the Disney buyout as soon as January 1st, 2019, according to 21st Century Fox president Peter Rice. Okay. They're getting this deal done a lot quicker than I was thinking they would. Is it going to leave all the X-Men movies in limbo now? And how are they going to do it? I'm just very curious about that. Next one is James Gunn news. And this is DC news now. James Gunn is writing Warner Brothers Suicide Squad sequel. So we got Guardians of the Galaxy. He got fired off of from Marvel Studios, and it's owned now by Disneyland, technically. So he said a bunch of fucking fucked up jokes on Twitter 10 years ago. He's been apologizing for those the past 8 years. That people still want to pull up bad shit, and like the people that know him are like, he's not that fucking dude. Like, yeah, he made a bad joke. Like, any of us have never made a bad joke? Like, serious shit, dude. So they fired him legit, took him off. And DC, Extended Universe, swoops him up and hired him on to write and produce the Suicide Squad sequel. I'm very curious. I love his work anyways. I love his writing and his directing. So, yeah, I'm kind of very curious about this one. Next one is just going to be weird on DC Extended Universe's Joker movie accused of locking extras in subway car and denying them breaks. So it's off to a bad start already. They weren't giving their extras breaks or restroom breaks or any type of break on a subway set. So assholes. I'll bring more details, but I'm trying to get through these as quick as I can. Next one's going to be production on The Flash stumbles now to late 2019. So again, DC Extended Universe can't get a damn fucking thing straight. Still on DC is Warner Brothers reportedly, and this one did happen this weekend, reportedly ready to move on from Affleck and Cavill. And the report claims that Warner Brothers is ready to move on from Henry Cavill's Superman and that it will cast another actor to replace Ben Affleck. So if both of those guys are out, we never got a Man of Steel 2, we never got a Batman movie that's supposed to get made soon that Ben Affleck was involved with writing and or producing, directing, and both of those guys are gone now and they have to recast those. What the fuck are they doing? And now they don't know what they're going to do with The Flash. Nobody knows Shazam. So a big old clusterfuck with DC Extended Universe. That's all I'm going to hit for that. I'm going to go through some comic reviews. Let's just hit it real quick. First one I'm going to hit is X-Men Black Magneto number 1. The writer is going to be Chris Claremont, Dalek Bohr. Talgic is going to be the artist. Roberto Poggi and Bellardini Bravo are going to be the inker. And it starts off, having witnessed bigoted genocide firsthand, Eric Lenscher became an outspoken leader for mutant rights with a severe anti-human streak. Using his innate ability to generate and manipulate magnetic fields, he was branded a terrorist for his radical demonstrations of mutant superiority. To some, he is an extremist. To others, an icon. But to all, he is the master of magnetism. He is Magneto. Just starts off with an inner monologue now of how a boy could read just to get lost. So you see this little kid reading books just to get lost. He let his imagination help him explore what the world had to offer. Then describes how the world is so much more, or is just such a beautiful place in general. But it's the people, its inhabitants, that aren't. And that's what makes the world so fucked up. And you know what? I love it's the way it's written already. Chris Claremont, by the way, is an old school writer. And he knows the X-Men so well. So to see him play with these toys and this toy box again is just fucking dope. So now as we get that, we see the scene jumps to an old gentleman now sitting in a diner in a small town where he appears to have finished some sketches as he's talking to the busser, I guess, a young girl named Kate. It's a funny panel now about reading books. She's like, "You still reading books?" It's like, "Yeah, well, how do you read books?" "I read them online or with my Kindle." And it's funny because the generational gap is just like, it's a funny panel. But the conversation turns now interesting as she continues on about the family business now and the power they use to sustain it and part of it of this small city, I guess. As she continues on, she finally notices his branding on his wrist, his forearm, where she asks him, like, "Is that from the Holocaust?" And he politely mentions, like, "Yeah, I'm from Auschwitz." And so as she continues on, then now this conversation goes on, she starts talking about her great-grandfather that helped, he helped liberate one of the camps during that time. So it's really cool to get this grounded conversation between this old man, this old gentleman, and this young girl. This goes on, though, the news goes off in the background about mutant adults and children getting separated and taken to facilities that get detained for quote-unquote their own safety because of the quote-unquote potential threat posed by mutants. If you guys have heard me talk about mutants in X-Men before, I love the fuck out of these characters because of the bigotry, because of the racism, because of you're different. And these parents getting separated from their children, does that remind you guys of anything that's going on in the world at all? Anyways, anything that might be going on now, and this little girl's like, "This isn't right. Why is the government putting kids in jail?" Magneto's like, or Eric's like, "Aren't you scared? They're talking about mutants." And so that he's justifying that. But she's a little, I don't know, Costa Rican girl. And this is where Kate says, "That's just a label. What's happening to these kids? It isn't fair. It isn't right." So it's just really cool that we get this grounded aspect of it. Yeah, mutants are different, but people of different nationalities, races, religions in general. Guess what? We're all fucking different. And there's nothing fucking wrong with it. As this goes down, the people in the restaurant start talking about how terrible mutants are. And you guys have probably witnessed the same thing. So now Magneto, Eric, now politely interjects himself because, you know what? I do get offended. So I'm that guy too, where it's like, ooh, this doesn't necessarily, they're talking about me legit. So I have to address the situation. That's what he does. And so now, as this goes down, he confronts them. He's like, you know, mutants are not as bad as you think, type of deal. So as that goes on, it jumps back now to his old days fighting the X-Men as he's training to full effect. So this is going on now. And then him finally going to work and to take out this mutant holding facility. He's a little bit pissed off that this is going down. Where he's quickly attacked now by a Sentinel. And he says, "I'm barely beginning to embrace my true potential. Have you ever considered what might be accomplished if such power were harnessed for good? Instead, you choose to see me as evil. The truth is, however, I am just a man, fighting to protect my people as you do yours," as he's fucking ripping through this facility. So now as he tries to liberate these children, he tells him, "I can give you refuge." Like, yeah, like a refugee camp sort of deal, like move away, like no, I'm gonna make it sound like he's kidnapping them. He's not. He's like just offering them a home, a place to go to. And Chris Claremont, being such a smart writer. He is one of the kids. And he goes, liberates this camp where the kids are at. And when the kid says something beautiful is, I know this sounds stupid, but did you ever think that maybe that's why we can't run away? This country was founded by people willing to fight for its ideals, to bring those dreams to life. Maybe this is our chance to do the same. And the art, honestly, is not the best, but the story by Chris Claremont, and to have him write an X-Men title again was beautiful to me, and I love the fuck out of it. And it's a beautiful story. That's all it is. It's a simple story, and I want more Magneto in my life because he is an anti-hero, and he's doing things for a fucking reason. He saw bigotry, hatred go down firsthand, and he doesn't want to see it happen to his people again. And his people now are mutants. So it's always a beautiful story, just more compelling story to me. Next one to hit is still going to be Marvel Comics. It's going to be Venom number 7. Donny Cates is the writer. Ivan Coelho is the artist. And it's not Ryan Stegman this week, but Andreas Mosa is the inker. Starts off now with an inner monologue from a man going out, talking about his samples from the previous issue's fight. So I have reviewed probably all the Venoms by this point, with Eddie Brock now shackled and locked up in a room where he's getting interrogated. And we finally see the guy that's in charge and whose inner monologue it's been the whole time, which was interesting to intersect these two characters. His name is The Maker. The Maker is from a different universe, straight up, and he's the counterpart to Reed Richards. Reed Richards is Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. Reed Richards is a brilliant scientist, and the Maker is the brilliant scientist, but wicked and twisted and evil. So it's really interesting how they're pulling this guy towards this. I don't know how they're gonna work this story, but I trust Donny Cates and where he's taking it. So now we see it's the Maker, and that he wants to, what he keeps referring to as the sample. Then talking about this group he's working for with that, it's called Project Oversight. And now as he continues on, he talks about the Grendel Dragon, which is, again, the past few issues I've spoken about and reviewed. So as he gives Eddie more information, he explains that even though he passed out, the Venom symbiote got out and took Eddie out. So Eddie had his pain receptors shut off by the Venom symbiote. It looked like the Venom symbiote died. What happened was it was able to wake up and get Eddie Brock the fuck out of there. So now Eddie Brock finally learns how long exactly he's been in this facility and wonders why it took him to where it did. So the symbiote, unbeknownst to Eddie's knocked the fuck out. So Venom, the symbiote, has full capacity of him. He takes him to San Francisco. And I believe that's where the movie is going on or takes place. So it's really interesting because we see a scene where he wakes up and he passes out. He's at his dad's house and his dad wants nothing to do with Eddie Brock. It's kind of a fucked up scene to see. And the dad's like, I don't fucking know you. I don't even want you here. As he turns around and tells his little boy, it looks like, get in the house. Dad, who's that? It's no one. So as that goes down, that's when Eddie Brock gets attacked. And we get more now of the conversation between the Maker and Eddie Brock. Your symbiote is shooting you from trauma. Instinctually erasing parts of your memories it believes will hurt you. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? What else has it erased? Then we get small details about the symbiote. It's like it's dead, more or less. The damage done during the fight with its god all but erased its connection to its hive. As a result, I'm afraid, its voice, its personality is gone. And I'm reading this bummed out because last issue it looked like, okay, the Venom symbiote is destroyed. And now it's like, okay, it's not gone. It's still around. And the way I kept talking about this symbiote is it is a fucking character. And the way it's been written so properly is it is a character. And the fact that we're getting this now from a twisted scientist is like, nah, dude, like it's burnt to a fucking crisp. Like it's of no use to anyone anymore. So it's now just another fucked up scene as we see how Eddie is fucking even pissed off over this. And it, even the maker says that, you know, it, you're just going to be alone now. It's just going to be a guard dog to you at best. So he's trying to find these samples. And every time he tries to attack Eddie Brock, it just protects Eddie Brock still. But he doesn't have that psych link anymore, that connection. So I love Donnie Cates as a writer. I'm very curious to see where this is going to go. Loved it. Still love the fuck out of it. Last review is going to be Heroes in Crisis from DC number one. Tom King is the writer. Clay Mann is the artist. Gorgeous art. Tom King. I'm still talking about Tom King, guys. Tamu Mori is going to be the inker. And this one starts off with Booster Gold in a small restaurant in a small town in Nebraska till Harley Quinn arrives. And he's just in his suit. And a lot of you guys are not going to know these characters, but it then quickly starts off once Harley Quinn gets there, starts off with some sort of confession. So this story is going to jump back and forth to what happened prior. And granted, this is number one, and it's going to go into what's happening right now. So it goes into, it's pretty much of a sort of confessional where she's like, it's Harley Quinn. She's like, I'm Harley Quinn and I don't believe in trauma. But as she goes on in her dialogue, her little diatribe, she keeps breaking down. Like, I don't believe in trauma. I don't believe in that people can be mentally fucked up. That's interesting. Then it jumps back now to the restaurant where they both continue to have a conversation. And it's just them shooting the shit. We don't know what's going on, but Booster's like, fuck, she found me. Jumps now to another confession from a character called Blue Jay now. And jumps, yeah, and he's like, yeah, I've had issues. Like, I have this issue where I can shrink, but I can't shrink anymore. And I feel like I'm stuck. Like, every time I wake up in the morning, I'm tiny and I'm drowning in my fucking blanket. So you just get those small, weird things like that. Jumps back now to the conversation between Harley Quinn and Booster Gold again in this small diner, where she finally makes her move and starts stabbing him. She orders a fucking apple pie. Starts munching her apple pie. They're having a decent conversation. She goes nuts. So the next one's going to be another confessional. Is actually, here we go. As this goes down, though, sorry about that. We see the Trinity, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman arrive to a scene where a bunch of heroes are dead on a farm field. Hotspots being the first one they catch. So now as Superman surveys the land, that they call these three heroes Sanctuary. He mentions that the greeter, quote unquote, is missing, as he confirms two more dead bodies, Arsenal and the Flash. I know, kind of spoilers, but now we get a confession from Arsenal, Roy Harper now. I reviewed a Red Hood and the Outlaws comic where Red Hood tells, Arsenal tells Red Hood straight up, like, I keep falling off the wagon. I keep going back to drugs and drinking, and it's like, I need to go to Sanctuary. Like, I need to get help. So it was kind of a beautiful way to end it. And to read this one, I'm like, oh, fuck, a lot of shit went down this issue, and we don't know exactly who's done anything yet. So now we see Roy Harper, Arsenal's confession, talking about his addiction. And he's like, it used to be everything. It used to be pills. It turned to heroin. Because I was in so much pain all the time. So it's really sad to read this, because now you really get a feel and vibe for his conflict, and you really empathize with his struggle, because the way Tom King writes it, it's like, I don't have any superpowers. I'm just smart enough, and I'm good with a bow and arrow that I can build dope fucking arrows. I'm a regular man. We're fighting gods, we're fighting creatures, alien creatures, we're fighting people with these abilities. He's like, I was taking painkillers, and once painkillers weren't helping, I went to the next strongest thing just to cope, just to get over it. And I love the fuck out of it. Like, it's sad to read, but it's like, shit, that is a thing. It happens to our sports stars, our figures, all the time. And not enough people talk about it. And it's a fucked up thing. Even WWF, WWE wrestlers. Like, it's a thing. That's what has killed so many of those people. Those wrestlers. Those athletes. And they are fucking athletes. So again, I really love this struggle. And it's fucked up. And I shouldn't love it. But it's like, he's writing it proper. So now it jumps back to the Sanctuary as a three now. So Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman talk about why this place was put together from the get-go. And it's pretty much Batman and Superman putting it all together, because the reason is superheroes, even if they have superpowers, like, they go through shit just like we do. The emotional trauma of seeing so much damage happen on a daily fucking basis. Even though they're superheroes, guess what? You can't save everyone all the fucking time. So they started this place where it's like, you know what? Fuck, if any of us are feeling like, you know, it's like the Sanctuary. It's a place where we can go to and talk and get shit off our shoulders and get the weight off our chest and talk about things and stay there. And it's almost like a rehabilitation center for distraught superheroes in any way you're feeling distraught. And Harley Quinn mentioned her trauma. It's a beautiful fucking place. So for it to be number one was dope. So these ones are all great titles that I love the fuck out of. So you guys choose which one would be your book of the week. And if you guys want to find these, please do. You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter. You guys can find me at comic_syndicate1 on Twitter as well. You guys can find me at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast, please. More than anything, share the podcast. Rate us. I've noticed the numbers jumping, and you guys are rad as hell. Please reach out to me if you guys want to chat on this side. I'm busy as fuck, and that's not even a complaint. You guys are rad. I love the fuck out of you guys. I'm going to be at Los Angeles Comic Con 2018 next week, and we're going to see what I can bring you. If I bring you stuff, cool. If not, cool. It's going to be RJ's first time with me at a convention, and I want to see how he does with the interviews. So, again, going to be very interesting stuff. I love the hell out of it, and much love again for the birthday wishes. You guys are rad. Awesome. I love you guys. Again, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I will catch you guys next week. Thank you again. Peace out.